D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Thou shalt not murder, says the commandment, but some today claim it does not apply to everyone. Who is in danger? Find out next on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Many people suffer from what C.S. Lewis once called chronological snobbery. They view our age as enlightened, while looking back at ages past and asking, how could they have engaged in the Inquisition? How could there have been slave owners? How could they have let the Nazi Holocaust take place? And yet, today, we countenance the slaughter of 1 million unborn babies a year in America. That's about 3,000 a day in our supposedly enlightened times. What will future generations say about this? In our day, we have multidimensional sonogram technology, giving us astonishingly detailed images of the humanity of the baby in the womb. Yet, 3,000 babies a day are killed and disposed of, mostly for reasons of convenience. Later in this program, we will hear about God's commandment on this issue, and we will take a look at the origins of America's largest abortion provider. We begin today by having a discussion with Father Shannon Bouquet, pro-life activist and speaker and president of Human Life International. Father, welcome. Great to have you
here. Oh, nice to be with you, Doctor. Yeah,
it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. You know, I was watching the news recently and I saw the most disturbing news report coming out of Iceland in which officials there said they were on the verge of eliminating Down syndrome. There's a far more chilling story behind that headline, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, recently I wrote a column on this particular subject, and you know, the thing that's so important for our audience to understand is that it's the attack on human life is very real. And what we see in Iceland really is something very sinister, and that is they haven't done away with, obviously, Downs. What they're doing is they're ridding people with Downs. And I think it's important for us to realize that this mindset, this mentality, is not necessarily something the government is pushing. What's happened now is people have just embraced this mentality. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself with a diagnosis of a child that may have a diagnosis of Downs, right, 98-99% are terminated. And we see this growing, in the UK, about 95%. And we see this, again, in other parts of the world. So what's happened in Iceland should be very chilling, you know, no pun intended for our audience, but should be very chilling to people from a moral point of view, that we look at human life with such disregard, and that our brothers and sisters who may have a special need are really no different than you or me or any one of us.
In the image of God.
Absolutely. And so we're discarding life like a commodity that we can either say, I wish to have, or if I don't want it, I just throw it away. And I think that's the big challenge today, is to open the eyes of people to see every human life, no matter what condition that little life comes into existence, and no matter what medical conditions are in that moment, doesn't diminish the dignity of that person. And I think that's the part we have to keep challenging. People have lost a sense of the beauty of humanity, as you said very beautifully, the dignity that comes from being made in the image and likeness of God, our Creator.
Right. This is exactly what was predicted when abortion was declared to be a hidden constitutional right. And they said that people who are less favored will find themselves the object of the abortion. That's exactly what's happened, hasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And again, I see this worldwide because it's the big challenge. We know that this great cancer has become a global assault on human life. And I really believe that, you know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, one of her little famous quotes was that if I can destroy the life that I cannot see, so much more can I destroy the life that I do see. And I think that's the big challenge for us all in the pro-life and family movement, to really awaken people to this tragedy.
Right. There are people watching this program, no doubt, who have suffered because of abortion, having had them one themselves or been closely connected with it. And we don't want to put a burden on them,
right,
but we do want to speak truth. Amen. We're made in the image of God, and for that reason, the Scripture speaks pretty strongly about those who take the lives of those made in the image of the Almighty.
One of my favorite passages for myself to pray with really are the opening of our ministry of our Lord, repent and believe. Mm. And I believe that's the core here, is that, you know, the Lord wishes us to reorient ourselves back, to turn back to the Father. You know, beautiful words, come back to me with, you know. And I think it's important that for our brothers and sisters, and especially our sisters who may have, whatever reason, made a decision in life, whatever brought them to that moment. And the one thing for those of us who work in this life cause, we hear so many reasons that bring women, you know, to these decisions, sometimes even forced upon them. And so many of them carry this great pain, you know, and after years of carrying it, to know that they can find reconciliation, that the Lord does not desire the death of His children. He seeks their salvation. And these are the things we just got to keep bringing into the conversation and pierce through the shame, the guilt, even sometimes the anger, but they become very angry with themselves. You know, I cannot believe I did that. You know, especially when someone was really not really introduced to the Lord, never knew the Lord. Right. And all of a sudden, later in life, they come to know Him, mm-hmm, and they realize, very much like Peter, you know, they denied Him, mm-hmm, and they denied, you know, a truth, an eternal truth, thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they come to know Him, to hear His voice. And of course, this deep wound has been buried. And what does the Lord wish to do? He wants it surfaced so that He can truly bring truth and bring light, and also bring healing.
So for the woman who wrongly thinks she's committed the unpardonable sin,
right,
you would tell her that the blood of Christ is sufficient to
cover that. Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the Scripture is filled with so many images of the those who repented and returned. And of course, also the sadness of the Lord's also condemnation of those who would not repent, whose hardness of heart, you know, blinded them, you know, to the gift that He was offering and still offers to our own age. And that's part of the challenge too in our life and family work, isn't it? Because, you know, so many people are so spiritually blind, and to know that even within our Christian folds, we have people who truly believe, they say are disciples of Jesus, but yet believe that taking of a human life is a valid choice.
Father Bouquet, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's great being with you.
May the Lord prosper your work.
Oh, thank you very much.
It is hard to imagine any creature as vulnerable as a newborn baby. And of course, an unborn child is even more vulnerable. May God give us the grace to see them as He sees them, unique individuals created in His image. They were not designed by God to have their lives snuffed out even before getting a chance to live. Dr. D. James Kennedy addressed this issue in his series on the Ten Commandments. Here now is a portion of his classic message, Murder, he wrote.
Our subject this morning is the Sixth Commandment. And our text would seem simple enough, thou shalt not kill, four single-syllabled words. And in the Hebrew text, it's even simpler. It is only two words. And you will recall that in this case, the original was first written by the very finger of God on tables of stone. And then it was transcribed by Moses into the Scripture. But what exactly was it that God wrote with His finger? It was murder, he wrote. Thou shalt do no murder, is what he wrote. And what we find if we look behind the Hebrew text is that God and Moses intentionally passed over 9 different Hebrew words for kill and fixed on the one word for murder, the word ratzach, which means thou shalt do no murder. Not only is this true in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, written originally in Greek, you find that this commandment is quoted a number of times, both by Christ and the apostles. And unfailingly, both Jesus Christ and his apostles pass by some 5 more general Greek words for kill, like anaireo, or apateno, or thuo, or spato, or diakritizomai, and fix on the one Greek word for murder, which is phanuo, to murder. The noun form of that is phanus, which is always a murderer. So whether you look at the Hebrew Old Testament or the Greek New Testament, you will discover that in every case it was murder that he wrote, the God who gave us the Scripture. And if we examine the context in Exodus 21, we discover that there we read such things as this: he that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Or, and he that smiteth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Or, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him shall surely be put to death. And in addition to those 3, there are 3 other texts in that very next chapter after the Ten Commandments, the 21st chapter of Exodus, where God gives specific instructions that most surely he shall be put to death. Now, it is absolutely incredible, beyond belief, that God could, in one chapter, forbid the ever taking of life, and in the very next chapter, command the taking of life 6 times. It is interesting that in none of those other passages is the word ratzach used, because that is not murder. That was capital punishment, but it is not murder. It was commanded by God. Someone left me a note as he was leaving the earlier service, and said, it is interesting that today we kill our babies and baby our killers. I one time spoke on the matter of abortion, and someone said to me afterward, you believe in the sanctity of life? I said, yes, I do. He said, then I assume you are against capital punishment. I said, no, I'm not. And he said, why not? You're not being consistent. I said, no, sir, you are not being consistent. I believe in the sanctity of life, and it is simply because of the sanctity of life that man was made in the image of God that God declared, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good. And is it not strange that those who speak most loudly in favor of abortion and infanticide and euthanasia are the people that are usually most opposed to capital punishment? They are willing to kill the innocent, but they are not willing to kill the guilty. That is inconsistency.
As Dr. Kennedy powerfully said, today we kill our babies and baby our killers. One of our big problems is that we have followed the Pied Piper of utilitarianism, which does not value human beings intrinsically, but only according to what they can supposedly contribute to society. One of those leading Pied Pipers is Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Although she's long been dead, her legacy of death for the unborn is yet with us to this day. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Tonight we go after the story of the woman who violated convention and bucked powerful opposition to lead the birth control movement in America. You see her behind me, she's Mrs. Margaret Sanger.
On September 21, 1957, Mike Wallace interviewed Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger on national television.
I was what I would call a born humanitarian. I don't like to see people suffer. I don't like to see cruelty.
Publicly, Margaret Sanger couched her work in the cloak of caring for people. But is there another side to the story that Planned Parenthood doesn't want the rest of us to know about?
Planned Parenthood Federation of America was founded by Margaret Sanger, who was a careful disciple of the discipline called eugenics. Now, for those who are not familiar, eugenics was the scientific, genetic, racist philosophy that drove Nazism and Adolf Hitler. It was the idea that somehow by modern science and through scientific manipulation of genes, that a race of thoroughbreds could be created, weeding out those undesirable aspects of humanity.
Critics note that while she was not a Nazi per se, she shared their basic worldview regarding racial superiority and the need to suppress those deemed by the state to be inferior.
Margaret Sanger did not visit Nazi Germany or even pre-war Germany. She did, however, meet with a number of the leaders of the National Socialist Movement when she was in England in exile. She actually fled as a fugitive from the law and spent a year in England, and there came into contact with a whole host of radicals in the circle of people like H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw. And that's when she made contact with many of the eugenicists and the National Socialists.
Sanger once declared, "But for my view, I believe that there should be no more babies." Nor did she think highly of large families.
The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it.
She was not alone in those anti-child views. Furthermore, she had no qualms about speaking before the KKK. In her autobiography, Sanger wrote, "I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan."
During her lifetime, Dr. Margaret Sanger said, "Colored people are like weeds, and they need to be exterminated. We don't want that word to get out." And then in essence, she went on to say that we'll select some of their leaders and make them a poster child for our cause. There is evidence on record that Planned Parenthood is out to target minority communities. Many of the Planned Parenthood clinics are in minority neighborhoods. They like to say they're in urban neighborhoods, and that's true. But I have personally seen and gone to several cities in America where Planned Parenthood was on or near a street named for my uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Sanger recognized the practical need to obscure the most racist aspects of her views. She wrote, "We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population."
Now, for Margaret Sanger and her followers, those undesirable aspects of humanity were largely ethnic minorities, blacks, Jews, oftentimes Slavic peoples from Eastern Europe. These were considered undesirables, imbeciles, she called them, human weeds, she called them. And so Planned Parenthood was originally designed to limit the populations of those peoples and to increase the population of what she felt were the desirable races.
A large proportion of unborn children that are aborted are African-American. A disproportional amount are African-American. And I really think that African-American leaders, you know, ought to speak up and speak out more often than they do. It's a kind of a genocide, a racial genocide, and that's an undercurrent we don't hear a lot about.
Black Americans are 13% of the population. We get 35% of the abortions. Huge disproportion. And abortion is the leading cause of death in the African American community. More Black Americans die from abortion than all the other causes of death in the Black community.
Above all, critics note that there is a huge divide between Sanger's view that there are too many of the wrong kind of babies in the world versus the biblical view that all human beings have dignity and worth because of God's image stamped upon them.
Life is precious, our lives and the lives of other people, and I believe because this is in the end God's work and God's nation, the world's in God's hands, we'll see success to protect every human life in our country.
As you have just seen, Planned Parenthood's founder was a proponent of eugenics and believed in eliminating minority populations. Yet where in the mainstream media have you ever heard about this agenda or the virtual genocide that has come to the African American community as a result? This remains one of the burning issues of the day, and there are others as well. We want to give you an opportunity to make your voice heard and equip you to effectively engage the world around us. Here's my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. As we stand for truth and defend your freedom, we'll continue to speak out on the issue of abortion, perhaps the greatest moral evil of our time. And we plan to engage on this and numerous other issues in 2018 as well. That's why we need to hear from you. We want to know what you believe are the most important moral issues facing our nation as we set our strategy. Contact us as soon as possible to take our Spiritual State of the Nation survey. Fill it out and return it to us right away to make your voice heard on the most vital issues we face. To request your survey, simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation when you contact us, we'll thank you by sending you the brand new book from our ministry, Let Freedom Ring. Just off the presses, this book details America's founding principles and shows where we've gone wrong, as well as how to reclaim our freedoms. It features chapters from William J. Federer, Dr. Frank Wright, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, former U.S. Representative John Hostetler, and my dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, among others. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $60 or more, we'll send you Let Freedom Ring, plus the original U.S. Congressional Handbook. This unique resource presented by the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship is a power-packed toolbox for engaging our government. It includes crucial information on every important leader in the executive branch, as well as each member of Congress and contact information for their key staffers. It equips you with everything you need to know to be responsible and active in the cause of biblical truth. Contact us right away to receive your Spiritual State of the Nation survey to let your voice be heard. And please consider including a generous donation so we can send you the new book, Let Freedom Ring, as our thanks. And for a generous donation of $60 or more, we'll send you the book, Let Freedom Ring, plus the original U.S. Congressional Handbook. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
In many ways, we still live in the world conceived by Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. To be sure, advances have been made in the battle to defend the lives of preborn babies in recent years. But abortion remains a seemingly indelible stain on our national character, a fact that is all too easily accepted and rationalized in the political sphere. At the end of 2017, some astonishing statistics were released by the National Centers for Disease Control. According to a CDC report covering a decade of data, today in New York City, the largest city in America, one out of every three babies is aborted. While the abortion rate declined some for African American women, the data showed that still well above 40% of all black children are killed in the womb. Of course, all of this would delight Margaret Sanger. She was a eugenicist who wrote in favor of exterminating black populations. She once wrote, "All of our problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class." And yet, despite successful evangelical efforts to put pro-life politicians in charge of the White House and both chambers of Congress, federal funding to America's largest abortion provider, Sanger's very own Planned Parenthood, inexplicably continues. Despite the emergence of ghastly videos showing Planned Parenthood leaders negotiating prices for spare baby body parts, and despite recordings of Planned Parenthood phone operators willing to accept donations earmarked specifically for the killing of black children, somehow elected officials who proclaim the pro-life label in their campaigns now cannot seem to shut off the funding spigot. Dear friends, 2018 is another election year, and I have grown weary of unkept promises. The scripture calls us to rescue those being carried off to slaughter. If the current crop of leaders will not stand and defend the most vulnerable among us, it is time for us to look for others who will. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
I think homosexuality came into vogue because it was a left-wing ideal that cost people nothing.
Sex is like a fire in a fireplace. In the proper context, it heats your home, it heats your food, it's romantic, it's wonderful. But once it gets out of the fireplace, it'll burn the whole house down and kill somebody.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.